a website selling artworks and prints at more than 10 times their market value. Now, David Hume says that art collectors should avoid making purchases from, and he's listed various operators. They come out of Britain or they come out of Canada. He says, I'm concerned not just to the high prices of the artworks in question in relation to their real value, but by the way these people are being encouraged to invest potentially very substantial sums of money on art that has very little commercial value. David, thanks for your time. Happy Easter.
Yes, happy Easter to you. Nice to talk to you, Jeremy.
I find it interesting. How do we know what a painting is worth?
Well, the way I evaluate for my clients is we look at auction values. So we actually have those published results, not just for Australia, but also worldwide. And we have access to those figures, and we can check very clearly with an individual artist what their work sell for. So the information is out there for us.
So it requires somebody, let the buyer beware kind of thing. I mean, it does require somebody to do a little bit of homework.
Yes, we do that on behalf of clients if they're doing due diligence prior to purchasing works, and up to and including $1 million works. I've spent a week sometimes on due diligence to check a painting to see if it's really the claims, what it's worth. It really is worth what people say it is.
We did a story last week about a very philanthropic lady, or actually a foundation that she controls. They've gotten together and put something like $4.5 million or more dollars into buying a painting for the South Australian Art Gallery.
Yeah.
But it must be a terrible responsibility to look at that and say, well, I know this is going to be worth a lot more in the fullness of time. But how can one know?
I don't think we can. I never claim to have a crystal ball in terms of investment, and I think it's always difficult as soon as somebody puts the word investment in front of art, it really blurs the lines, and it's not as clear cut as all that. And I think you have to be very, very wary. If art is being sold solely as an investment, then it's, you have to be very, very cautious and seek other advice. Art primarily should be bought. Purchase because you like it, because you enjoy it. But if you start to get out of your comfort zone in terms of how much you're spending, then it can start to get a bit scary for people, I think, generally.
But you do see these stories, and they range from somebody buying something in a garage sale and discovering that it is worth $300,000 or more. You hear those sort of stories from time to time.
I have people coming to me with that kind of scenario, and people do not realize that they have valuable artworks. We're very happy to inform them that they do when they do have, but they are, these things are few and far between. Most people do not own works of that nature, and it's great when they do make these discoveries, and we can all share in their joy, hopefully, when they come to sell them, possibly.
Something can be worth an awful lot of money, but it really isn't unless you can find a buyer who is prepared to pay that amount of money. And that is also a bit of a trick.
Yes, I think so. That's where the internet has really taken a big leap forward. And I mean, it's actually a really positive step, I think, for many artists, because they're now able to sell their works directly via the internet, and there's always been a lot more artists than galleries. So I think actually it's been a positive move in many ways. Because galleries are retailers, they've got their own problems as retailers, all retailers have. So the internet provides a low cost base for people to sell their art in a friendly way, much like through a gallery, which is very good.
I want to get onto this particular website just to warn my listeners about this if they're tempted to go there. But, if I was an artist, I mean, I could do a painting that I was really terribly fond of and maybe didn't even want to sell, so I'd put an outrageous price on it, and if somebody came in and wanted to buy it, well, God bless him. Now, it's a very, very difficult thing unless you Outside of having a crystal ball or a lifetime experience, you'd have to be really careful buying art, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, and really, I mean, in essence, art is worth what somebody is prepared to pay for it, and we have to accept that, and that's reality. If somebody's prepared to pay a lot more for it than it's really worth, that's fine. But essentially, the way that we value art is down to the name of the artist, you know, a successful career, possibly over a few years or many years, and they've got that history behind them. If I look at an artist like Arthur Streeton, we've got a huge history and knowledge behind that artist's work, and we can sort of say, well, we can look to the past and say, this is his history, and these are things that we know that have happened, and his art has sold. One of his paintings might have sold for $1 million. Well, I think actually one has sold for $2 million, I think, in Arthur Streeton. A Sidney Nolan has sold for over $4 million.
You've got Drysdales and you've got McCubbins and all kinds of things like that. But in actual fact, it could well be kind of like pass the parcel at a children's party, couldn't it? You know, you might just get left standing up holding the baby.
Well, yeah, I look, that can happen with anything, and certainly that's the case with art. And art goes up in value, and it also goes down. And even the best-known artists, there's been a kind of a move away in the last little while from more traditional art. You know, the famous sort of the gum. You have, you know, one of the most famous gum tree painters and one of the best exponents, and that's Hans Huysen, and his work continues to be highly sought after in the market. But many that followed him have suffered, really, because they were repeating largely a lot of the things that Hans produced and was able to do, and those other also rounds now are really struggling to sell their work. But Hans Huysen continues to be ever popular because he just did it so well.
They establish a kind of a genre, Albert Namatjira, pro-heart, and you automatically will get imitators and people who will copy that. But maybe if you can buy something and you like the look of it and pay a fraction of the price because it's not an original artist of those kind of that sort of stature, you've got something really original and nice to put on the wall, and it doesn't really matter what it's worth.
Well, that's very true. That's very true. I look at Albert Namatjira there's only one Albert Namatjira, and certainly from the Hermannsburg school, we have many artists who produced beautiful works. And if I look at the value of an Albert Namatjira, for instance, its market value can be sort of anywhere between $20,000 and $40,000 for an original Albert Namatjira watercolour. But many of his followers, their works, even though it may be difficult for most people to tell the difference even between an Adolfinka Miller or a Albert Namatjira Jr. or many of the other artists that followed him and produced beautiful work, but their work would sell for maybe $600 or $800 at auction. Mm-hmm. Or even less. So, so it is about the name.
What would a Namatjira cost?
Well, the average price in the auction room will be somewhere between $20,000 and $25,000.
Is it worth that?
Of course. Well, I believe so. I believe that again, it's about that supreme quality of work, the history of Namatjira. You know, it's important in our own art history, and they're important to the history of Australian art, as is Hans Huysen.
Well, I like his art. I mean, if you said that here's a lovely Albert Namatjira and here is a Picasso, I'd go for the Namatjira. But you know, the Picasso
is more traditional taste. But if you looked at a Picasso, perhaps from a much earlier period, and rather than his cubist works, you might say, well, actually, I really like that.
But do you think these people have got their tongue in their cheek when they do these outrageously modern things? Do you think they're just seeing how far they can push the envelope?
Well, I think particularly when you get into more conceptual art, when you're just finding a pile of jelly beans in a corner, it starts to get beyond the bounds of liking too.
It's not that I do it all the time, but I was asked by a very, very nice person who has an art gallery to come and open a particular exhibition. And, you know, I told the story. And here were these people. I suppose I shouldn't have done that because people were there sort of looking to invest in art, I guess, or buy art. But here was this painting that I saw. It was a completely blank canvas. Not a black dot, not a tiny little mark, not a hair, not three jelly beans in the corner. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And they wanted $7,000 for it.
You didn't buy it then?
Oh, no. But, you know, go figure. I mean, how could somebody have the hide to put a completely blank canvas up, frame it, and say $7,000, please?
Well, that's the great thing about art, that we can all have different taste and different, we can all like different things for different reasons. And our taste can change as well. We can move on from one thing to another. And I think that's the great thing. And it's meant to be controversial. I think, you have a great show on at the moment at the Art Gallery of South Australia, the Adelaide Biennale. I think it surpasses our own Biennale exhibit at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. It's a tremendous exhibition, and I think that's something which, you know, we should be very glad of our own state galleries putting on fantastic shows that we can go and see. We don't have to buy it. We can just go and look at it, enjoy it.
Yep. Now let's get to this warning that you sound in particular about a company. You believe that people should be warned that if they go online and buy a work of art from this particular outfit, do you want to name it?
Yes, it's Chartford's online art gallery. My main concern, actually, is to be honest, it's not so much the inflated prices on the website. There's something behind the business. It's sort of looking like a legitimate art business, but once you start to look a little bit behind that, you start to realise, and there's lots of talk on the internet. The internet is its own community. So as soon as you start to look up something, a business or whatever it is, you start to find more people talking about it in different areas. And my job is as a valuer to do investigations into the values of art, and inevitably I can look at other things. There's lots of talk about this actually being a Ponzi scheme. Because people are encouraged to actually purchase starting off with prints and then investing more money and getting so-called credits back. And I've seen some quite thorough investigations which indicate that it may well be a Ponzi scheme. And that's what I'm concerned about.
These are prints, are they?
There's prints and original paintings, so there's a big variety of things. And I've checked them on a lot of the paintings. The prints are $200, so that's not a concern of mine. It's a relatively small amount of money. But when you're starting to get the original works, which are up to $20,000, $25,000, $30,000...
And what do you think those, at that price, are really worth?
Well, I mean, clearly, I've already checked a number of them, and they've been purchased at local auction, reputable auctioneers in England, in local auctioneers, and I've found evidence of that, and very clearly, there was even a Clifford Possum, which was purchased at a local auctioneer in England, and it was purchased for quite a small sum, and then they advertised it for a very large sum. But I don't think that's...
Are they breaking the law?
Not at all. No, absolutely. I mean,
you put any price you like on it.
You can quite legitimately do that, and that's. But then, if you're purchasing it and then selling it back to somebody for that price, it's hardly an investment scheme, and it's been promoted as an art investment scheme.
Yes.
And I just don't like art investment schemes particularly, because it's not. It really. The only way that you can realise. The money back is to resell that work, and the only real place to resell it again is at auction. And if you sell a Clifford Possum that you bought at auction for, sort of $1,500, you're not going to realise anything like $29,000 that they've got on it. So I think the whole nature of what's going on behind the scenes, it's looking like a legitimate art online business, but the other things that are going on behind the scenes are, I think, encouraging people to bring other people involved, and this is happening in Australia. I had somebody contact me, and a couple of people contact me. Another person last week from Australia, from Sydney, and he said he'd already invested $20,000 of his own money into this. And that's rather worrying. I said, because he was asking me, what art should I buy? And I said, well, I wouldn't buy any of it because it's not really worth the money that is being it's being asked for it. So so I said, try and get your money out. That was my advice.
Yeah, well, you know, what you say about investment as opposed to, you know, fall in love with it and understand that you're buying something because you've just fallen in love with it, but don't fool yourself that it's an investment. Now, thank you very much for your time. Just before I say goodbye, it rattling around in the back of my mind is a guy in Sydney up Dural way, I think it
Ron
was.
Ron Coles, yeah.
Yes, yes, that's it. Mm-hmm. Now, I think he went to jail, didn't he?
He is in jail awaiting sentencing.
He's in jail awaiting sentencing, yeah.
And a lot of people lost. We picked up the pieces from a lot of people who lost both.
Alan Jones used to, on 2GB, used to promote him. I used to hear those advertisements.
Yeah.
And I can understand people thinking to themselves, well, gee whiz, this sounds absolutely wonderful. But what you didn't know was that allegedly the gallery was selling the same painting dozens of times over.
Yes.
Was that the story?
Yes, it was that, and unfortunately, a lot of people lost both money and art, or and both in those situations.
Did they ever sort it out?
Not really, but you know, a lot of the. I mean, we handled a lot of the art after that time. We revalued a lot of the art after that time, and we told people, you know, really, the you know, it hasn't tarnished necessarily the art because. He was purchasing a lot of his art also at legitimate and reputable fine art auctions.
Yeah.
And if he bought an Arthur Streeton or a Norman Lindsay, it doesn't mean that that painting is no good anymore. And all he did was resell it, but he just resold it many times. And I think that's a tangled mess, and I hope they've ultimately been able to sort it out, but I think it was a long process.
Yeah. Let the buyer beware, let the buyer beware.
Get advice, always.
Yep, indeed. David, great to talk to you, and I thank you for your time, and I wish you a happy Easter.
Lovely,
and I thank you for
too.
Letting us
lovely to speak with you. Thanks, Jeremy.
Interfere with your Easter break. David Hume, and he is a fine art advisor and valuer, and I spoke with him in Sydney.